In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. You can read the Gospels, obviously, for their theological content, for the stories that are in them, for the events that happened, for the theological truths that are within them. You should do that. But when you do that, you also sometimes see, if you read the Gospels a lot, that there are parables in the Gospels. I don't mean the parable we just heard about the 10 virgins, which is strictly said, it's a parable. I mean things that can become parables for you and very instructive in your life. This happens to me all the time. And this story about the fish, the catch of fish, is like that for me. Now, it has a lot of very important things. It was really what caused the disciples to leave everything. And there was a specific reason that I will mention later why Peter said that he was a sinful man. It's not immediately apparent, but the fathers understand it. It's a very theological gospel. And of course, when you pair it with the catch of fish after the Lord was resurrected, now, then it becomes really magnificent because you see their growth. And all those things are very powerful. But in the background, I have all this, because I've read this gospel hundreds of times and preached on it for, I don't know, maybe 23, 24 times. It's a parable. It's a parable of our life. It's a parable of the Christian life. And this is what I mean. So the Lord is teaching, and there's so many people that he tells them to get into a boat, right? He gets into a boat so he can talk to them and not be surrounded by the crowd and they can hear him better. And then after the teaching, which would be in the morning, into the afternoon perhaps, then he tells the disciples to go fish. Well, this is the wrong time to fish. They're not going to catch anything. He says to Simon, launch out into the deep. That's what we got to be doing. We have to have courage to launch out. We have to have activity. Christian life is not something that is done passively. There's absolutely nothing passive about Christianity. Nothing. If you choose not to react to someone, that's not a passive reaction. That's where you use your will to do the right thing. Nothing passive about Christianity at all. And if you live it passively, if you live it haphazardly, then you're not going to be launching out into the deep. And the deep is where you find the fish. And you can make those fish to be what you want them to be. You know, they're not fish. They are, in the case of the apostles, people, men. In the case of us, perhaps some men. But also, grace. Also, enlightenment. You got to launch out into the deep. That's very critically important. You always have to be pushing beyond what you're able. Now, not too much beyond, but enough beyond that you are stretched and that the Lord helps you. So that's one thing we've got to do right there. We've got to continue to be launching out into the deep. And then he says, let down your nets for a draught. If you launch out into the deep, but you don't have a purpose, you don't bring your nets, you don't seek fish, well, you won't get any. So you have to know, what is it that you're trying to catch when you launch out into the deep? What is your purpose? What are you doing today? What do you want to get a little bit better at today? What do you want to achieve today? And really, by today, I don't mean this day, Sunday. I mean really all of your life. Because really, every day, you should be trying to achieve the same thing. And it's out in the deep. It's from launching out and from trusting God and from struggling with your sins and from trying to be a Christian in everything that you do, everything that you think and all of your attitudes. So you better know what you're looking for. The Lord gave very specific instructions. Launch out into the deep and let down your nets to get some fish. So if you don't really know what you're doing today, if you don't really know why you're doing what you're doing, then you have to correct that. What you should be thinking is thoughts like this. Not absolutely like this, but in this kind of idea. You were born with a purpose. You were made in the image of God. But you don't act like it, do you? Not completely. There's still darkness in you. You weren't made to be dark. You weren't made to be cold. You were made to be hot, like fire, and full of light, because God is light. So every day, shouldn't you be seeking that light? Any way you can? In the spiritual, shall we say, such as coming to church, and the mundane, shall we say, like it's going to work. or dealing with some task that you need to do, you better know why you're launching out into the deep. You got to do it, and then you got to know why you got to do it. So when Simon hears this, he's very demoralized. He's been fishing all night. It's hard work, and he didn't catch anything. He's tired. And he's a professional fisherman. He knows that you don't catch fish in the middle of the afternoon, not with the techniques that they used. So he says, "We have toiled all the night long and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." What a powerful phrase, "at thy word." How many times do you do things in your daily life? This should happen dozens of times, maybe hundreds. It's just at the word of the Lord that you do it. You don't want to be nice to somebody, but you are. And not because it's a command. If you do things because they're commands, then you're going to stop doing them. You have to do things because they are convictions in your heart. And that's where the word is. Maybe you don't want to be kind. Maybe you don't want to pay attention. Maybe you don't want to labor in prayer. Maybe you want to indulge yourself. Whatever it is, there's a word. It's in your heart. The Lord is telling you to launch out into the deep, let down your nets. But you don't want to do it, just like Peter didn't want to do it. Well, that really doesn't matter if you want to do it or not. What matters is if you do it. Remember the parable about the two boys? And his father says, "Go out into my field and work." First one says, "I'm not going to do it." The second one says, "I will." But then the first one repents and goes out into the field, and the second one doesn't go. So the first one had to battle with himself. And at first, he sinned. But the Lord, when commenting about which one did the will of his father, said the first with no caveat. That's very important. There's no caveat there. So he didn't say he started out as a sinner. He started out disobeying his father, but then he came to his senses and obeyed his father. He doesn't say that. He says this one did the will of his father. So it's the same thing here. Peter didn't want to go out into the deep. He didn't want to fish. He was tired. But because the Lord said it, he would do it. This very much applies to our life every single day. Oh my goodness, aren't there things we do that we don't want to do? I personally struggle, I guess, with this. I get dejected about seeing lack of progress in things or seeing how complex things are. I encounter so many difficulties, so much stuff that goes on in the world. And I have no idea how to deal with it. And sometimes I just get tired of dealing with it. I don't want to deal with it, but I got to go deal with it. That's when you're listening to the Lord and you say, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I'm going to go and let down the net." You have to battle with yourself. If your life is easy, if you don't feel that you have battles, you are completely missing the point. There must be battles. There must be battles inside yourself where you say, "I don't feel like doing this, but I will. Because my heart tells me to, because I must." And that's what Peter did. So he lets down the nets because he's obedient. Now, they caught a lot of fish. And they caught so many fishes that the net broke. That's going to happen to you too. God is too big for you. He's too big for me. He's too big for all of us. When we seek him, we get overwhelmed. At least I do. Now, if you don't feel that feeling of being overwhelmed, you're not seeking him enough. I'm just telling you. I'm just being flat out honest with you. There should be this feeling of being overwhelmed by God. He's too much. He's too bright, like the apostles experienced when he was transfigured on Mount Tabor. He's too bright for us. We're not ready for that amount of brightness. And yet, there's something in our heart that seeks after that brightness. And then when we see a bit of that brightness, it's sometimes too much. Our nets break. And also struggling against our sins is sometimes just a little too much for us. It's a little too hard. And somehow, though, God helps us. Because remember, the apostles, their nets started to break, but they brought in other boats and were able to salvage all the fish. So even though it looks like you cannot do something, the Lord will help you accomplish it if you are struggling. This happens to me all the time. I've given a definition before of the priesthood. It's a sinner helping other sinners not to sin. I'm always completely above my head, over my head in what I'm doing and how I'm trying to help somebody. Every time. There's never a time that I'm not. And that feeling of being very small, it's not really a very comfortable feeling. Do you have that feeling? I hope you do. There are many parents here, since there are many children. Do you have that feeling when you look at your child thinking, how am I going to teach my child to not be like me? How am I going to teach my child to love God with all of his or her heart when I don't? Do you feel overwhelmed by that? Do you feel like your net's breaking? I hope you do. Because from that feeling comes seeking after God, going out further into the deep and obeying his word. Every day should be a struggle on that level. Now, it's not grim, it's not bleak, because with that struggle comes great consolation, even when God's too big for you. Great consolation. It happens to me all the time that I am consoled. In fact, sometimes I am consoled right in the middle of being completely broken. Happens every day. Every day that happens. Especially when I'm saying the Jesus prayer. Happens every time. And I want you to have that experience too, because that is the Christian experience of knowing that you're small and God is big, but God wants to make you, shall we say, big. He wants to make you able to be in his light. You're not ready yet, but you're getting ready. And you have to be getting ready by being courageous, by being active, by being aggressive, and by being obedient about things even you don't understand. Peter certainly didn't understand why he told him to go fish in the middle of the day. It made no sense to him, but he was going to do it. He probably didn't even have the expectation that he was going to catch fish. He was just going to do what the Lord told him to do. So he did, and got so many fish the net broke. From that, but then from something else, Peter was really broken. Peter was overwhelmed. And the fathers talk about it. I just recently read about this, and I had never seen this. This is why we should read the fathers, because they come up with these amazing interpretations. So the nets are breaking, and the ships are all filled with fish, which is an amazing, incredible, pretty much impossible thing to happen in the middle of the day on the Lake of Galilee. And so when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." Now, it looks like he saw the fish, and he saw the incredible miracle, and he was just overwhelmed by it. And that's true. But there's something else, too. The Lord sometimes shows his face to us, just like he did on Mount Tabor. When the disciples saw his face on Mount Tabor, and he was so bright, they couldn't bear it, that imprinted on them so much that later on, Peter talked about it in his letter. And so we sometimes should see Christ, perhaps not with that level of intensity. It's possible to see him with that level of intensity, but it's rare. But certainly to see something of the face of God, to feel God stirring in your heart. If you don't experience God in your heart, then it's really hard to keep going. Now, if a person is just a rigidly legalistic person and says, "I got to do this and this and this and this and this," then I want you to come over and clean my room, because my room's never clean, and you are, you know, so legalistic and you can get it done. I can't keep things orderly like that. But a person who can keep things orderly like that, they can force themselves to do things, but there's no life in doing it that way. The life is to do it because the heart tells you, because the heart is overwhelmed, because the heart feels God moving within it. Seek that movement. If you don't have that movement now, beg God to have that movement. You have to feel it, and you'll feel it if you seek it. You have to seek it with humility, seek it with courage. You have to do these things that this parable speaks of. You got to launch out into the deep. You've got to let down the nets even when you don't want to. You've got to just obey God at his word, by his word, do things. And when you're broken, when you get too much, that's a time when you're going to see God. And that's what Peter did. Peter saw God. The Lord looked at him, and he saw something of his divinity. Peter didn't really know yet that this was Jesus Christ, the God-man, the Messiah. This was very early. This was before he even started following him in the ministry. But the Lord revealed this small little, he let the curtain down for a moment And Peter was overwhelmed and said, "Depart from me, for because I'm a sinful man." So Peter, at this moment of being broken, of seeing God, feeling completely overwhelmed, completely inadequate, the Lord tells him, "Cease being fearful. Stop it. Henceforth, you will catch men." Now, that was Peter's job. He became an apostle, and he caught many men with the nets that he let down. I'm supposed to catch a few. Any priest is, but you are too. But it's more than just men. This could be, since we're talking about this as a parable, this can be the Lord telling you what you should do. What is it that you should do with a difficult situation? The Lord will tell you. How should you order your life? What should you do? What education should you seek? Or what other such things should you do? The Lord will direct you. Now, I'm not at all telling you anything silly like the Lord's going to tell you what kind of car to buy or whether or not to become a doctor. I mean, you can actually hear people talk like that on the TV at 3 o'clock in the morning. When I used to take care of people in the ICU, they always had religious programming on at 3 o'clock in the morning. And you hear crazy stuff like that. This is not how God directs you. God directs you by giving you a spiritual purpose that is along with your primary spiritual purpose. And it's the same for all of us. Those of you who know me should know it immediately. Think, oh, he's going to talk about being made in the image of God again, isn't he? Well, that's the most important thing there is. There's nothing more important. But besides fulfilling this purpose that's based upon being made in the image of God, as you grow in maturity and knowledge, you become less sinful. God can use you for different things. Perhaps you're a very patient person and you can counsel. I remember a story. This is the anniversary of Tim and Elizabeth's wedding. And Tim and Elizabeth's wedding really happened. It was already scheduled, but how it happened came about because my son died. So I'll tell you a story about him. And it kind of fits in here. Just kind of popped in my head. The kind of things that you should be doing. He had a specific talent. He had many talents, but one of his talents was he knew how to listen to people. So he was at a party, big dinner at OU that was just before they were going to all go off to Europe. Exciting, talking with people about all the stuff you're going to do and everything. And it was being hosted, I believe, by a couple that were in the university, professors. And the man was starting to get dementia. And my son Daniel sat and talked with him, I think for 3 hours at the dinner, watching him, talking to him. Do you want to talk to somebody with dementia is going to tell you the same story over and over when you can talk to other exciting people? There's, you know, political science professor here, and there's an economics professor there, and there's your buddy who's going here, and another one's going there. That's a specific talent. That's the kind of thing the Lord's going to tell you to do. If you have that kind of talent, to be able to listen to somebody like that, to be able to have that level of compassion and concern for someone. Maybe you're not that patient. Not everybody is. Maybe you have some other talent. The Lord will tell you what you're going to do. He tells it to me every day. I think he tells me stuff that I'm not good at, but I still have to go do it. He will show you what you should be doing, but only if you're seeking. Only if you're going out into the deep. Only if you are letting down the nets even though you don't want to do it. Even though you are despondent or you're tired or whatever it is, you're going to say, at thy word, I'm going to do it. And then the Lord shows himself to you. That's what you should be seeking. You should be seeking his face because you were made to see his face. That's what you should be seeking. And if you do that, then indeed God will help you. God help us. Isn't that a beautiful parable when you think about it as a parable? Maybe you never did that before. I do stuff like that all the time. I'd recommend you to try to do that. But to do it, you got to also know the scriptures. Keep reading them. Even if you don't understand them, even if they're really hard to understand, keep reading them, especially the Gospels, primarily the Gospels. For some of you, only the Gospels. And then you'll start to have things click for you. But you got to struggle. Christianity is struggle. You're struggling against yourself. But God will help you. God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.